Live from Flamingo in Paradise, it's Cofield and Company from Silver Sevens Hotel and Casino. It's Cofield and Company. On ESPN Las Vegas.
Of Cofield and Company here from the Silver Sevens. It's the Adams, Hill, Candy, Angel out here, Ari back in the studio, and...
Should we go Adams Family, or is that too...
Oh, I like
too
it. Hokey? It's an Adams Family edition of the Cofield and Company program. I love it. We're down here at Silver Sevens. Of course, Thursday Night Football on the way, Tampa and Carolina in just a couple of hours, and they've got all the specials for you down here during football, Thursday football, as well as Sunday and Monday. You want that Bud or Bud Light bucket? That's $11.77. If you just want regular old draft, 277 16-ounce drafts, Bud Light, Shock Top, Mick Ultra, Goose Island. Gets even better during Raiders games and Golden Knights games, and we are not that far away from Golden Knights season. $1.77 Bud Light bottles. We have a fair amount of local stuff going on today, Adam. We got some interesting developments in the NFL, and we have maybe... And I don't say this lightly, considering the litany of Marshawn Lynch videos that are out there on the internet. We have maybe the best 8 minutes of Marshawn Lynch that has ever happened online.
Now, that is quite a standard to live up to, I'll say that, because I didn't watch it intentionally. First of all, there's been some great Marshawn Lynch content. Marshawn Lynch playing video games with Conan O'Brien is about as good as it gets. But the greatest Marshawn Lynch video, well, the short video is him driving that golf cart around Cal, which is phenomenal. The greatest Marshawn Lynch video ever is taking, God, I think it was Kenny Mayne, around to all the hot spots in Buffalo when he was playing for the Bills. And it was like Applebee's and Fridays. Like, that's it. That's what we got here. And him showing him around, that is incredible. So you telling me that this is the best Marshawn Lynch content that we've ever had? I'm excited.
So I'm going to say this, and I'm going to give you this warning. At some point, you need to watch the whole 8 minutes all the way through, because we just have some cuts that we put together. But all I'm going to say is it's not far from Buffalo. We are up in Canada, and Marshawn Lynch has been deputized to sample Canadian snacks, and let's just say it goes about as well as you'd expect that it might go. Marshawn Lynch, of course, last year's, well, not for the whole season, but for part of the season, main guy in the backfield for the Oakland Raiders. A big injury to talk about with the Raiders with Jonathan Abram, the shoulder injury that we heard about yesterday. He is going to undergo surgery. He's going to be out for the season. We talked to John Gruden and talked to Derek Carr as well. And within that, got some really interesting stuff here on Jonathan Abram. Let's get to it in the three.
It's time for the three. Presented by Dustin DeHart at Nova Home Loans. Call him today at 577-2600.
All right, so Jonathan Abram gave an interview to your colleague, Miles Simmons, at the Review Journal and talked about the shoulder injury that he had. And we're going to get to that audio in just a minute because I think we find out in that video, in case you don't know, that professional athletes are a different species of human being. They are not the same as you and I. And I don't just mean like they got a few extra good genes. I mean like they can put up with things that I would never be able to deal with. Let me give you an example. Going back to, and you'll remember this fondly, I'm sure, back in the days of Media League softball.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I can remember 2005, our Sun team, your RJ team. And
bitter rivals.
Bitter. Yeah. I mean, it was nasty fisticuffs sort of things going on out there at Sunset Park. And so I got up to the plate, swung at a pitch that was kind of inside, and my shoulder popped out of the socket, like right out of the socket. I remember when they say blinding pain, like I remember that black coming over my eyes. I just kind of scooped up my elbow, ran to first base, and ran directly into the stands and was like, that's it, got my single, I'm done. I am done. I sat there with the shoulder out of the socket for like an hour, just like weeping, crying, thinking to myself, like, am I going to be able to get myself anywhere? Like, eventually I drove myself to the quick care. Thing rolled back into the socket, put it in a sling. I was down for like 4 weeks. Not Jonathan Abram. Jonathan Abram had his shoulder injured in the first half of the opening win over the Broncos, and we're going to let Jonathan Abram describe exactly what happened to his arm.
You know, we were playing cover two, and so I tried to make a break on the ball, and it was a play where I actually, you know, stopped the guy from getting the first down. So when I hit the guy, I didn't end up getting a clean shot on him, so I ended up getting, like, the backside, and I ended up falling to the ground. And so when I fell, my arm, like, hyperextended and ended up popping up out of place. And I stood up, it popped back in place. And so I just, that was the play where my helmet came offside. And so everybody thought I was just worried about my helmet. I came off because it actually kind of knocked the wind out of me, and my arm felt funny.
At that moment, I'm done for the season. Like, that's it. Don't try to put me back on the field. Take my helmet away. I'm done.
Season? I'm retiring.
You're completely done. But not Jonathan Abram, who continued to play the rest of the game, quote, tackled with his other shoulder. Adam, this story is insane to me.
Completely crazy. I mean, that's who he is. Like, it doesn't necessarily surprise me, even though it surprises me. You're like, yeah, that's just what that dude does. Like, he just wants to be out there. I'm shocked that he just didn't say, you know what, I'll have the surgery in the offseason, I'm going to keep playing. And he might have said that, and the team was like, no, that's impossible, you can't do it. He's crazy, but he's one of many professional athletes that are just insane.
We don't know whether he's going to say salmon or salmon. He is definitely saying surgery. He is done for the season. And here's what he's going to do with his free time. Apparently, as he told your colleague, while he's away from the team, Abram said he plans to take classes to get his master's degree in mechanical engineering.
Yeah, I think he wants to build bridges.
That's awesome. Like, and it's also degrading to me, because I think to myself, it's bad enough that you have this talent as a professional athlete that is so far beyond anything I've ever understood in just trying to play sports at some point in my life. I can't be a mechanical engineer. I can't do that. You are so much better than me at two different things.
Well,
the jealousy just goes overwhelming for me.
Well, he's not. He doesn't have his master's yet. He just.
I wouldn't even try
you can
that.
Plan to get it too, if you want. Doesn't mean you're getting it. I think it's admirable even to have the thought, and like, hey, I might. You know, I think this is going to be what I pursue, but at the same time, like, you also understand, like, this is a guy who is just going 100 miles an hour every day to achieve his dream, and now all of a sudden he has to slow down and stop. And I think he's looking for ways to fill that time, and I think that'd be an amazing thing to do in his free time as he's working his way back. But an incredible kid. You feel so bad for him, but at the same time, it's his first year. He'll be back, and I'm sure he'll have a great career ahead of him.
What does it mean for the Raiders in terms of how they adjust in the defensive side of the ball now?
Well, I mean, they brought in a couple guys today just to kick the tires on a couple of veteran safeties. As they said, next man up, that's their plan. That's what they that's what they preach, and as all NFL teams do. I would say the fact that it looks like Gerrion Conley is going to return is massive for them. I mean, going to return this week, it looks like. He practiced today in a limited capacity, and when he was carted off the field the other day, I don't think anybody could have seen that coming. But if they were down two of their young, talented secondary players, that'd be much different going against the Chiefs. They're going to, rotate around. I know Dallin Leavitt is a guy they really, really like. He's a special teams ace. He was inactive for week one, but he's a guy that was a real long shot to make the roster. He made it because of his work on special teams, but also because they like what he's done learning the position and getting better at safety. So I think they want to give him a look. But it's just going to be a next man up mentality. The difficult part for them, I don't think, is filling that spot and figuring it out, because I don't think this team even has visions on going anywhere this year. I don't think their goal is, oh, man, he's out. Are we not going to make the playoffs now? It's, are we going to win five games instead of six now? But the big blow is that this was a development year for him, just like it is for the rest of the team. They've got all these young players, and that's one year where he's not going to be out on the field learning. But on the positive side, it's a year where he's going to not take any additional damage. He's going to be in the film room every week. He's going to be learning. He's going to be watching the tape, learning without actually taking that wear and tear on his body. So, you look for the positives in the situation. But I think not having that year of development is where the biggest issue is here. It's really not on a week-to-week basis.
And a small thing here with the Raiders having had three first-round picks this year with Farrell and Abram and Jacobs, keep in mind that losing a year doesn't hurt as much as it does with a second through a seventh round pick, because you do have that fifth year option for the guys that at least you're going to be able to keep them around for another year. So the Raiders secondary will have to figure things out quickly because the Kansas City Chiefs.
Is the secondary important when you play Kansas City?
Yeah. Patrick Mahomes doesn't really care if you have a secondary. He's going to throw past it anyway. 387 and three touchdowns against what was supposed to be a good Jaguars defense last week.
I'll steal for myself from this morning doing an interview, and it was pointed out like, hey, the Raiders defense, the secondary looked pretty good for most of the game until Conley got hurt. They got to the quarterback a few times. Like, the defense looks improved. And my simple answer was, Joe Flacco ain't Pat Mahomes.
You know, I think that is the most succinct way we could wrap this up. Yeah. All right, let's go over to the college gridiron and UNLV football. Our fearless leader, Cofield, is on his way to Illinois right now for the UNLV Northwestern game. On Saturday, Rebs go in as a 19-point dog, started out at 16.5, so we know what the public thinks of the way the Rebels are trending. And here's the stat that jumps out at me, Adam. In Tony Sanchez time here in year five, the Rebels are 6-18 on the road. What is the one thing that you think we need to see from this UNLV team this weekend to have a chance against Northwestern?
Oh, man. I was thinking about this on the way over here. Well, certainly, I mean, if you want to look at the one thing, it's got to be good Armani. Because I think there, you've seen way too many times that there's a good Armani and a bad Armani. And Armani Rogers was bad last week. It was one of the worst games I've seen him play. Actually, the two games against Arkansas State are two of the worst games I've seen him play. So for whatever reason, that team kind of has his number, even though I thought there was open receivers. He just couldn't really hit them. And then when he did, there were some drops, which really cost them. But he has to have a huge game. Now, certainly, all the other things have to go right, too. The defense has to force turnovers. They've got to take them into short fields. They've got to do all those things. They've got to make plays on special teams. They might even need to throw in, you know, a trick play or two that works. Like, all of those things probably have to go right. But if Armani Rogers isn't a dynamic two-way threat in terms of throwing the ball and running the ball, it's going to be a long day for UNLV.
And I think offensively it's going to be a long day for UNLV, period, because the strength of this Northwestern team is on the defensive side. If you're thinking about this game potentially at the book, like the William Hill book down here at the Silver Sevens, here's a stat that we're going to talk to Brad Powers about this in a little bit as well. But with Pat Fitzgerald as the head coach of Northwestern as a home favorite, and this goes back to 2006, under 70%+ of the time, it is a Northwestern school that plays well on defense, is not always an offensive juggernaut. You saw at Stanford, they were not able to put points on the board consistently. When we come back, we're going to talk about
all,
the
sorry, I'll cut you off. Do you think Steve has a better time in Chicago this weekend or me in Minneapolis next weekend? Because
now, back to Silver Sevens Hotel and Casino. It's Cofield and Company.
Down here at Silver Sevens, Thursday night football on the way, drink specials, got the TVs, got the William Hill Sportsbook, you got all sorts of fun ways to enjoy a nice locals evening out down here at Silver Sevens for not just Thursday night football, but of course for college Saturdays, NFL Sundays, and Mondays as well. I will give all credit to Mr. Hill for calling it the Adams Family Edition of Cofield and Company. Cofield on the road with UNLV football. All company holding it down here at Silver Sevens. And Adam, we're going to get to the big news of the day here with the Golden Knights. And I know that you've been a little heavily toward Raiders, so we'll jump back in with you on Golden Knights here with training camp on the way. A huge announcement from Golden Knights defenseman Shea Theodore about the fact that he was diagnosed with and was treated for testicular cancer in the offseason. I don't know any other way to describe it than shocked in hearing this. It just for a 24-year-old guy, and I know that is the demo for this particular disease, but for anyone 24 years old to be dealing with cancer is just stunning.
And especially the way he found out. I mean, just it's you say it's shocking, completely shocking in the sense that obviously, you know, being on the beat, I got a text this morning that just said, I got a bunch. The first one I checked when I woke up just said, whoa, Shea Theodore. And I was like, wait a minute. I was like, oh, contract extension? No way, he got one last year. Did he get traded? Like, no, that makes no sense. They love him. Like, he really fits what they want to do. Like, building. Like, I was like, wait a minute. What's going on? maybe he's injured, and I guess to a degree, I guess that's what it was. But I then immediately got on Twitter and saw it and was just, like, stunned. And for a lot of reasons. I mean, one, this is a guy that obviously, you know, he's a great player for the Golden Knights, young, healthy guy, everything else. And as he pointed out in his story, like, that's exactly why people need to understand. Like, it's stunning, but it's actually not that completely uncommon, all those other things. But also, like, is a guy that you feel like you know him because I've talked to him so many times. I've been around him so many times. I've had so many off-the-record conversations. But also, follow him on social media and saw his whole summer of, like, everything that he was doing, and there was never any indication. So, like, it also tells you, like, even if you know, follow people, even your friends, like, on social media, you never know what's actually going on in their lives and all those things. But to the important part of him revealing this, first of all, please, please go read what he wrote in the Players' Tribune. I thought it was incredibly done, very, very honest, very revealing about the fear and the nerves, and also the, you know, the feeling of loneliness in the world, the way that he found out of, and for those that haven't read it and don't know the backstory, I mean, this is a guy who went to the World Championships, he took a drug test, it was flagged as positive, and they told him either it's this, which could be, you know, some illegal performance-enhancing drugs, or it could be a sign of testicular cancer. They did a follow-up. They revealed that that's what it was. He goes in the surgery, and how cold everybody was. And that, he's not criticizing him. It's just like, this is the reality of the situation. You walk in, like, you got cancer, we're going to operate tomorrow. And you're like, wait, what? That's how you find out? Like, that's how you're told? And I think him kind of sharing that and revealing that, like, tells a lot of people, like, hey, this is a professional athlete who could be going through the same things that I might be going through. And I'm should I be scared? Am I feeling the right things? And he's saying, like, I'm a professional athlete. Like, I've done all these things, but I am also scared. I am nervous, all of these things. And, you know, he makes the case certainly for everybody to get checked out and to, you know, to go through the screenings and everything else. And if you think anything's out of the ordinary, to please get checked and tested. And he might have made the decision not to go to the World Championships. A lot of players did. What if he didn't? What if they made it to the finals last year and he didn't participate in the World Championships?
And he makes that point in the article. He discusses the fact of how fortunate he was to have such a comprehensive blood test as part of the World Championships. And Adam, you talk about the fact of your familiarity with Shea Theodore, and anybody who's ever talked to Shea Theodore, the article sounds like him talking.
Oh,
it really
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
It's his voice. And when you hear that voice, you realize that it wasn't just people like, you know, who have the access you do as a reporter. His own teammates did not know about this.
Yeah.
In the article, he discusses the fact that he hid this from everybody. Jonathan Marchessault, a friend of his, he said FaceTimed him 10 seconds after a group text went out to all the wives and girlfriends of the Golden Knights, because they really are a tight-knit group. And that's how they all found out. And Shea Theodore kept it from everybody.
Well, he was rooming with Marchessault. He said they were sleeping 3 inches away in, like, twin beds at a dorm at the World Championships when he found out. Didn't tell him. He said the day that he shared with everybody, and actually his girlfriend, Mariana, is the one that shared with everyone in the group text to say, hey, this is what's going on. And they thought that was the best way to spread that around. Marchessault said, we worked out this morning. You didn't tell me. You didn't talk about this.
There's another anecdote in there about Shea Theodore playing golf with Phil Kessel, who has gone through a similar situation. And he was playing golf with Phil Kessel right after he gets this diagnosis and didn't say anything to Phil Kessel.
Yeah.
Phil Kessel ends up texting him later once he finds out through his agent to wish Shea Theodore well. So I would say what impresses me the most about that is, as fearful as he talks about being, there's such a quiet confidence about not saying something in that situation. He talks about how hockey players are taught from an early age, don't show emotion, just deal with it, just move on. And I think it's just impressive that they can, that you have the ability to deal with it. I don't know that I would be able to be so stoic in the face
totally
of something like that.
Out, screaming it, like, yeah. Oh, what's going on? Yeah, I mean, it'd be a totally different reaction that I would have. We talked about this with Jonathan Abram and the way that he dealt with his injury. We talk about this with Shea Theodore, but I think I just encourage everybody to go read it, check it out, see what he felt in his own words and his own thoughts, and I just certainly applaud Shea Theodore for having that kind of strength and confidence and character.
It's time to hit What's Trending, brought to you by the Golden Nugget Las Vegas.
What's trending here, brought to you by Golden Nugget. Golden Knights training camp opens tomorrow. Rookies are already in town, and we just talked about the news with Shea Theodore, who dealt with testicular cancer in the offseason. He is expected to be ready for training camp. News out of the Oakland Raiders, Jonathan Abram, safety, is finished for the year. Torn labrum in his shoulder, suffered in the opening win over the Denver Broncos. Gary and Conley, who had that scary neck injury, is expected back in time for the Raiders' next game, hopefully against the Chiefs, potentially could be after that as well. UNLV plays football at Northwestern this weekend. The Rebels are a 19-point underdog.
Live from Flamingo in Paradise, it's Cofield and Company from Silver Sevens Hotel and Casino.
Thursday afternoon, Cofield and Company, Adam Candy, Adam Hill, Cofield on the road, getting ready for Thursday night football. Tampa Bay and Carolina squaring off tonight on TNF. College football Saturday just around the corner, and I can't believe we are having another discussion that goes along these lines, because there's a chance, if you're a DirecTV subscriber, that you're not going to be watching college football this weekend, at least on the ESPN family of networks. I don't know if you've seen this, and if you're a DirecTV customer, I don't know how you wouldn't have seen this at this point, but the ads have been running constantly saying you're in danger of losing your ESPN stations, and DirecTV has even gone a step beyond that. They've blocked out the bottom line on ESPN on certain broadcasts to let you know, attention customers, you are about to lose the mouse. You are not going to have your ESPN networks for college football or ever again. Or maybe I'm exaggerating that.
Maybe.
Just a little bit, Adam. But, you know, I remember when we went through this on a small scale in the whole AT&T Sportsnet situation with the Golden Knights before the inaugural season a couple of years ago. And these things all end up sounding to me like sound and fury signifying nothing. That other than Pac-12 Network and DirecTV, which is one of the biggest dumpster fire situations we've ever seen in terms of carriage situations. These things always seem like a lot of noise, a lot of gnashing of teeth, and then at the end, it always gets done at the 11th hour. What do you think it's going to be any different this time?
Maybe. And I say that because, and not, I don't have much, you know, I don't follow these things enough to like speak with authority on this, but this is just my thought looking forward to what the future of these networks are. I feel like ESPN is very, very important to, you know, DirecTV and all the cable companies and everyone else. Like, you, if you don't have ESPN and its family of networks, like, there's going to be a lot of people that are like, I'm not subscribing, because why would you? There's so many options out there. And by the way, ESPN has their own way to distribute now. I mean, you could just get ESPN Plus, which I obviously have. They can air all their networks through there. You can go direct to ESPN and get it, and they're about to do all this, you know, Disney Plus, Hulu, whatever the combination that they're going to run, and you could just say, hey, listen, we're not going to give you a deal, DirecTV. We're not going to be on anymore if you're not going to pay us top dollar, and if people want to leave you because you don't have us, that's fine. They can subscribe to whatever they want individually, and including our service that we're going to have rolling out here soon, plus the ESPN Plus thing that they already have, and we're good. I mean, there's just so many ways to distribute now that you don't need to give them a break. And I think if DirecTV doesn't want to pay top dollar, I think ESPN will be like, fine, we're okay.
And understand something if you're listening to us right now. As an ESPN affiliate, you know, we're not shilling for this. There's nothing nothing we get out of this deal by saying that DirecTV isn't doing the right thing. Like, we didn't get a directive from from Jimmy Pitaro.
I'm not even saying they're not.
Yeah.
I have no idea where the negotiations are or who's in the wrong, who's not. All I'm saying is that it feels different than the past.
Yeah.
Because in the past, ESPN needed to be out on these services. They needed to be on DirecTV. They needed to be on cable companies. Now they can distribute on their own. So I think it's just a different position.
I agree with you completely because, look, DirecTV is not in a power position here. Not at all. This is not Pac-12 networks. This is the one sports network that everyone is looking for in a package. And I will be honest. I am a disgruntled DirecTV customer. I'm a DirecTV customer only because I have to be.
Us millennials cut the cord long ago.
Us millennials, yes. As though we're not the exact same age. As though we're not the exact same age.
Us millennials have cut the cord long ago.
I I am stuck with them for a couple of reasons, largely because I am a fan of the Evil Empire, because I am a Yankees fan, I want the Yes Network. It is the only way I can get the Yes Network. I won't get into the whole, I don't want this to sound like one of those airline tweets where someone says, "At Delta has the worst service ever," and hopes for some 24-year-old to answer and say, "We're so sorry, send us your case number and we'll work on it."
Should I stop doing that?
I thought that's what you millennials did. So what I feel here is I'm a disgruntled customer. Maybe I'm not the best person to weigh in on this. I at one point quit. I then tried to go back. I had someone completely lie to me about the package they were giving to me and then have no record of it by the time I called back. So I don't have a lot of trust in DirecTV to get the right thing done. But let's talk about it from the ESPN Plus perspective. You know you can buy the ESPN Plus separately. And if you're DirecTV and that's how you're keeping people in these larger packages, by having these core networks like ESPN, if I look at it and say, well, if I could just go get ESPN Plus for $5, $6 a month and I don't need to have DirecTV, why would I do it? Why? I'm paying $100-something dollars a month right now to have the dish up, and I bet you if I went and looked for a bundle, I could find it a lot cheaper than that. And this is the impetus for it.
Right. Well, I think what they're banking on is, hey, who has time to do that? And who has time to go gather all of the channels that they need? You have to come to us because we've already bundled them for you. You can do a one-stop shop. It's one bill, all those other things. And if you – believe me, I'll tell you one thing that I still miss about it is the fact that it is just one bill and one way to go, because you have to pay for all, you know, all these streaming services separately, which I'm doing it for much cheaper. But, you know, when you – like when your debit card, you know, it needs to be replaced or whatever, and then you got to go change on 33 different bundles – of like, oh, I got to update my card on all these different ones to make the payment. Like, it is annoying. And I think that there's people that are like, I don't have time for that. I'm just going to get DirecTV. I'll just get cable, whatever. But I think they're counting on that right now.
So it's interesting because in the olden days, I'm not that a millennial like you would remember, but in the olden days, there used to be a service where, you know, all of these different channels and streams and services were brought together under one umbrella, and it was called the cable company.
What's that?
The cable company.
Okay.
There's an educational documentary about this that Jim Carrey put together called The Cable Guy.
Okay,
if you're looking to find out what it was like, I would suggest going and looking that up on another one of your streams.
I actually read about cable in the history books one day.
Yeah, in one of the textbooks. Yeah. I'm sure that's what the last place we heard about cable, not even this newfangled satellite stuff. Look, ESPN, DirecTV, I still think they get this done, but the fact that in the middle of the year, we're already going to be like in week three of college football, that we have to be hearing about this garbage at this point because the contract is up at the end of the month, it's just annoying. It's another thing that says that you don't have the consumer in mind. It is a giant, giant pain, and I hope that we are not talking about this next week.
I have one of the, you know, streaming services that's a bundle of channels. I don't even know what you would call it. Whatever. I have one of these streaming services online where I get my channels from. I really only get it because I get all my sports other places, and you know, you figure out how to bundle together ESPN Plus and everything else. I need it for Bravo, for Vanderpump Rules. That's the only reason that I still have even anything.
I understand where you're coming from.
Are you a big Vanderpump fan?
No, but I have a friend who is a ridiculously large fan, so I feel like I just soak it in by osmosis.
Fair enough.
I have been to the Cocktail Garden and all of that
here?
Good stuff, yes.
Oh, okay, I've, nice. Yeah. You've not been to Sir Restaurant in Hollywood or to Tom Tom?
I have not. I am not the world traveler that you are. I don't spend as much time on the road to have those opportunities, and you know, maybe I have to now. Maybe I feel like that's the next step.
You had good Mall of America intel for me.
Oh, the Mall of America intel. I've got all the Mall of America intel you need. Maybe that'll be the first question we ask Lisa Ann when we come back. Has Lisa Ann ever been to the Mall of America? I know that's the content that everyone is looking for from our fantasy football expert, Lisa Ann, here on Cofield & Company on the other side.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews. Now, back to Silver Sevens Hotel and Casino. It's Cofield and Company.
It is Cofield and Company down here at the Silver Sevens. Steve Cofield up in Chicago with the UNLV football team. Make sure you check out that broadcast over the weekend. I was not here last Thursday. I almost wanted to come back here from Oakland up on the where I was on the road covering the Raiders, only for this spot, because I was very excited that we have Lisa Ann joining us here on the program. Follow her on Twitter at The Real Lisa Ann. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. You know, I love that I can still kind of sprinkle a little pixie dust, you know, and make people just happy just from interactions. You know, it's awesome.
Yes, for sure. You definitely do make people happy. That is true. Except I do listen to your show, and I feel like during fantasy drafts, you don't make people happy.
I try my hardest not to. You know, I'm very, this is the only time I feel it's okay to be a bit immature. You know, you become an adult and you can't be immature anymore. And you really don't have reason to kind of give your friends a hard time. And this is the perfect outlet. I mean, this is, you know, draft season. I just like, I make tons of conversation by text before draft to just see who my friends are really in on. Just so that I can take their players from them. It's such an awful way to play.
Just admit, you're heartless. That's what you are. You're just a heartless player.
Yes.
That is fair. Well, we do want to get into what is going on out on the field. We'll talk some fantasy and some just let's see how you feel about some of these teams, because right now we've got Tampa Bay and Carolina coming up tonight. Tampa Bay not looking too good last week. Carolina looked okay in a competitive loss. How do you think this game plays out tonight?
You know, I think there's so many of us that own so many shares of the Tampa Bay offense. That's Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, maybe some Peyton Barber. And Jameis Winston, because he was a quarterback that you felt in the new system was really going to thrive, and he was able to sit late in drafts. But if you're playing them tonight, which some of us are, you're just going to be cringing the whole game, and you're just really got to go in hoping for the best. Like, what else can you say? I mean, Jameis has done this before. I feel that him and Andy Dalton kind of switch weeks. You know, Andy Dalton will, like, have a great week, and then everybody will go out and play him. Then he'll just be a heartless dud and give you 4 fantasy points because he throws 5 picks, you know? Him and Jameis kind of switch superhero gear, so we don't know when it's going to happen. I mean, Cam just looks a little bit less mobile, so I think the good news for McCaffrey owners is you're not going to be competing for as many end zone touchdowns on Cam's legs, because that doesn't seem like he really wants to run as much this season so far. But, you know, both Thursday night games haven't been like an awesome high-powered offense. I'm most excited to watch the Chiefs-Raiders game on Sunday.
Well, I will be up there, so I'm pretty excited to watch that game as well. What excites you about this game? What should we be watching for?
Well, I love the whole how much everyone went through at camp. You know, you lived it with Antonio Brown. And to see, you know, what I kept saying to people is, remember something, Derek Carr is still doing his thing. He's out there getting it reps to Tyrell Williams. Work is getting done. The Waller story is uplifting. It's something we all want to tie into sports. Like, this is a feel-good story. So there's so much love and momentum for the Raiders since Hard Knocks, now moving to Las Vegas. And you got Mahomes just going to throw up big points. I just think it's going to be exciting because I think Derek Carr really needed that game. And I think the Raiders really needed to start their season that way.
Do you think the Raiders can stay within a touchdown against the Chiefs?
That's going to be the tough part. I mean, everyone's going to have to work a little bit harder. But the Chiefs' secondary is not that awesome, you know? So I do think there is opportunity out there. And, you know, Jacobs looked great last week as well. And Kansas City without Tyreek Hill is going to be a bit of an adjustment. I mean, if everybody thinks they're going to see Sammy Watkins do what he did last week, they can think again. Sammy Watkins has a history in the fantasy world of breaking hearts with fantasy owners. He's streaky.
For sure. No question about it. Follow her up on Twitter at The Real Lisa Ann. You mentioned Sammy Watkins, certainly a breakout performance last week. How much do we believe any of these breakout guys? I mean, people are jumping over guys like Hollywood Brown and from the Ravens, John Brown from the Bills, some of these guys that are not going to sustain what they did last week.
I completely agree with you. I mean, week one is always so fluky. You know, it's very similar when you're looking at Montgomery. You know, everyone's so really upset. Oh, I had such high hopes. You've got to look at players and say, this is week one. They didn't play a lot of preseason. A lot of these players are getting their first rep. Let it settle down. I don't, unless I have injuries, which I was hit with every injury this week, I'm not one to just go out on the waiver wire and make moves just for sake of making moves on week one. I'd like to kind of hold on to what I have and believe in the draft that I put together.
What about trying to take advantage of those people that do overreact and offering trades for guys that underperformed in week one?
So I had one share of Antonio Brown, and I was like, man, I got to get rid of this share. This is going to be high maintenance this season. Soon as he goes to the Patriots, he was so tradable, and so I got rid of him right away. well worth it. The headache, not mine. I actually have 70% of my leagues have Tyrell Williams. I really believed in that kid even when he was playing for the Chargers. So I like owning him. It's just an easy play. You got to get rid of a player, and Antonio Brown was easy for me. Who knows what's going to happen next with this court case? We just don't know.
What do, I mean, from a from an ethical perspective, do you ever have any issues with players? I actually have in the past looked at guys and been like, I just don't want to cheer for that guy every week. Have you ever felt that?
Man, I drafted Tyreek Hill like crazy, and I had to go through a whole ethical thing with myself, right? And then when he goes out and get injured, I stood up and said to myself and to my television, Lisa, that is what you get. That is the karma that you deserve. You put aside your ethics. Like, yeah, it's difficult, but sometimes you do it.
So much happened last week in the NFL, and especially in the fantasy world. We were looking at so many different guys. Was there, we talk about guys that are overhyped after week one, some that are underhyped after week one. Who was the most surprising to you, either in a positive way or a negative way last week that you said, I just, as much as I studied, I never could have seen this coming?
I really didn't see, I mean, everybody believes in Tyler Boyd, but I don't believe in Andy Dalton. So that's where that one really shook me. But look, I was a big believer in Derrick Henry. He had a really strong end of the season last year. Last five games were really strong. This draft season, everybody was like, I don't want Derrick Henry. Nobody wanted Derrick Henry. And look, he got into the end zone last week. And this week, Derrick Henry is facing the Colts. The Colts, who just gave up 39 fantasy points to Austin Eckler. Like, don't sleep on Derrick Henry, and especially in DFS, price still moderate cheap. And then also Mark Ingram. I mean, he really got it done last week. It was an easy matchup, but, you know, they're going through the same thing this week. Last week they played the Cardinals. It's just going to be, they played Miami, which was a horrible matchup, but I'm really looking at Derrick Henry, Austin Eckler, and Mark Ingram as plays I have to play this week.
Lisa Ann, follow her on Twitter, at The Real Lisa Ann. Is it, if you need players on the waiver wire and you have to go deep, say you're in a 14-team league, there's tons of people owned, there's nobody out there, do you just find anybody that's playing the Dolphins?
Yeah, I would definitely do that. I mean, in DFS, that's going to be my whole season for my defense. Like, I'm just going to match up against the Dolphins all season long. You could stream defenses. You know, there's definitely options, and yeah, why wouldn't you? It looks like they're already accepting defeat. But they could have some wild weeks. You know, and how many players do you really trust in the offense? I trust the defense against the Dolphins.
We're like, quarterbacks are such a weird thing. Everybody says don't overreact and draft quarterbacks early, but yet everybody does it. Every time I'm in drafts, I'm blown away by how early people take quarterbacks, even people that said don't take them. But if you wait, you can get guys like Lamar Jackson. Now, I don't know if he's going to do what he did last week. In fact, I'm promising you he's not going to do what he did last week. But are you in on Lamar Jackson long-term?
I am in. I'm 100% in. I'm an owner in many leagues. I believe that this is going to be a good season. I believe that also starting out week one with an easy matchup like the Dolphins is such a great momentum builder for a team and for a young quarterback. And you have to think of the mindset and how the right way for a team to start their season. On the opposite end of that would have been, you know, Baker Mayfield and all the calls against the Browns and that sloppy play. For them, it was the complete opposite. And look, Lamar Jackson was drafted way later. Baker Mayfield was going off the board in all my drafts, like the second quarterback, maybe the third quarterback off the board. And all those people were heartbroken last week.
Do you hit up those people on the message board and talk trash now?
I do. I do like to text my friends and kind of talk to them a little bit, like, how's that feeling right now? You know, but I also don't go in too deep because during the season I got to lay back because, you know, it can affect you too. You can get riddled with injury and have nobody on the wire and then nobody trades with you. Like, you know, it's tough.
How many leagues are you in, by the way?
So I'm in 15 season-long leagues, and wow. I did 5 best balls. So, you know, the draft where you just draft and set it, forget it. But I'm still competitive in those. It's a lot of management, guys. It's a lot.
It really is. Do you have like a rotate here? I'm asking for a reason. Everybody makes fun of me. I actually have 25. I'm insane.
Okay.
I'm crazy.
Wow, I love you. Like, wow, this is fantastic. I feel like we're soul brothers here. This is amazing.
Yes, but
25.
It's my whole week. As you know, it's like all you do. You obsess over every waiver. It's crazy. But how do you have like a set thing in your mind of like, Tuesday I do this, Wednesday I do this. Make sure you check the lineup right before the Thursday night game. Like, you have to get in a routine of some sort.
Of course. You do too, right?
Yes, of course.
Okay, so I have a handwritten notebook that, because you know how each league has different scoring systems and different waiver situations, and I'm in a lot of leagues with blind bidding, and there's different deadlines, and because we're on the West Coast, they're always set to East Coast time.
Yep.
And so I write out all of those specifics, and usually you memorize it by like week four, but when I'm hopping on and I'm getting into the rhythm of it, I go through that just to remind myself. And I try to just say, if I look at everybody's team for an hour a day, like 30 minutes in the morning and 30 minutes at night, I can really see who's making trades. I can see who's got extra, maybe some extra running backs, and I'm a little weak. Like, I start to really hit, and then by week three, I'll be starting to get really aggressive with trades, because why bother scavenging the waiver wire and just accepting 7 points when you might be stacked in one category and be able to help out a league mate?
Great, great information, great stuff right there. We started with Tampa Bay and Carolina. I'm going to circle back to it right now and say the prop bet tonight, 1.5 touchdown passes by Jameis Winston. What are we doing?
I'm going to go over.
Okay.
I know it's surprising, but you know what? I think he'll get it together today. I'm going to go over, and I'm going to say that O.J. Howard gets one of them.
Wow. Okay. I like it, because I'm still a Jameis Winston believer. I think with Bruce Arians, he comes around. And the second half of the season, if he's still the quarterback, I think could be very good. So we'll stay tuned on that one. There you go.
See, I agree.
Great minds think alike. See how it is.
So cheap in draft, let's face it. You got two or three more positional players than your league mates who were already taking two quarterbacks.
Exactly. And it's a lot because I listen to you on the radio. I'm going to give all credit to you.
Oh, great. Love.
Follow her up on Twitter at The Real Lisa. And Lisa, where else should people check you out?
So I'm playing the lines on Bovada, and they can use my promo code. It's BVLisa1000 at Bovada. Check that out. They'll match your money up to 1,000. You can play against me. Trying to, open my mind and do more different things in different sports. And I want to try and learn soccer this year.
There you go. Great. Oh, soccer is awesome.
People are into it.
It is unbelievable. Good luck with that, and I look forward to hearing your thoughts on that in the future. We'll talk to you again very soon. Thank you so much.
You too. Bye.
Thanks. Lisa Ann, follow her up on Twitter, at The Real Lisa Ann. We are down here at Silver Sevens. Come on down, hang out, the Adams Family edition of Cofield & Company. We'll be back right after this from just outside the William Hill Sportsbook here at Silver Sevens.
Join the conversation on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas.